Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta clean up what I missed out. I'm starting my life over again. I gotta clean up what I messed up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Ministry Along the Way Radio. I'm Demetria.
And I am Tanya. And again, happy Tuesday, everyone.
Yes, we're back. We're back. And welcome to our listening audience.
Yes.
So, how was your day today?
It was wonderful. I just got off the tennis court. So, it was a really nice day. The weather is beautiful outside.
It is. Yes. If y'all could see her, she's in her little tennis outfit. Looking cute.
Thank you. Thank you, sis. Thank you. But, yeah. So, yeah, trying to get the exercise back in the regimen.
It's springtime. Mm-hmm. Time to get outdoors.
Yes. Yes. Good. Get some vitamin D. You know I love vitamin
D. I need vitamin D.
Vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, last week we started the conversation of spring cleaning, with the old and in with the new.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about one of those aspects was getting the body in shape and doing what we needed to do to clean us up physically.
Yes. Not only cleaning up your house.
Right.
Cleaning your body, your mind. And we're going to talk about some of those things.
We're going to talk some more about that. But tonight we have a special guest, and I just can't wait. I'm going to introduce our guest tonight. She is Monica Pierre, and for those of you who may not be familiar with that name, let me just tell you a little bit about her. She is an Emmy Award-winning journalist.
Woo-hoo!
She's an author. She's an entrepreneur, a motivator. Oh, and she, motivator doesn't even begin to say, she's a cheerleader. She really is.
Wow.
I got to meet her last Sunday, two Sundays ago, I think it was, and right off the bat, she was just, like, so excited. Everybody was doing
it. I remember you telling me.
I like that. It was just, like, sincere and genuine, if I can say it that way. And I appreciate that, Monica.
I want to say hello. Thank you, Demetria and Tanya, for having me on Ministry Along the
you
Way.
You are so welcome here.
Thank you. I feel like I'm home.
It's good.
The blue room is gorgeous. Thanks for having me in the studio. The blue room.
Thank you. That's where the vibe coming from, a professional radio personality. So thank you.
And that, Monica Pierre, is she has had a career in radio.
Yes.
In social media. She's also a one-woman show. She's got a one-woman show, which I hope we get to hear one of your characters tonight.
I would love to have
her. We're in for a treat.
I hope so. She's also a dream motivator. And I'm just glad to have you here, Monica. I can't say that enough.
I'm so honored to be here. What I love is when people have ideas, and then they find the courage to take a step. You know, you always say, oh, I know it's not like a commercial radio station,
right,
but this is just the heart and soul of your dream. And we should never, never minimize our beginnings, because the beginnings lead us farther and farther down the way. So you have done an excellent job. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you
so much.
I see what you were talking about. You see, I'm motivated already. And guys, she has such a glowing smile. It's very welcoming. So,
And again, I just want to say this, genuine and sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we met, and I'm going to give a shout-out to my sister-in-law, because that's how I connected with Monica.
Mm-hmm.
She has a NOLA Women's Empowerment Group, and that's how we met. Monica was the featured speaker at our last meeting, and was just open and willing to share with everybody. They asked me questions, tell me what you're doing, and she just had an excitement just to hear from everybody who was wanting to have something to say. I appreciate that again.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Monica is also the author of two books. One of them is Found My Soul in a Sweet Potato Patch, Living a Life of Victory, and No Permanent Scars. It's never too late to live the life you really want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just blessed to have been able to write those two books. And the first one came about because I'm Sharecropper's daughter.
Okay.
And you listened to Q93 mm-hmm. years ago when I first started the Monica's Motivational Moments on the air. And people were immediately drawn to it and they wanted copies of it. And after the first few faxed me a copy of it, I said, well, this is a book. So I wanted to put the moments in the book. But I also wanted to share my family's story. They were sharecroppers, and they had a powerful dream. And I also wanted to share how, when I started off, you know, when you're in your sweet potato patch, mm-hmm. you don't like it at all.
Uncomfortable,
hot, sweltering, mm-hmm. aggravating, or I mean, everything mm-hmm. metaphorically and literally. But I found out later that everything that you see and you
yes.
hear started in that sweet potato patch. I learned about family, about mm-hmm. faith, about work ethic, about believing,
mm-hmm.
and it started there. That's where I found my soul, and I wanted to share my family's
wow.
story.
You did a great job because I've read the book, and, you know, I was reading along, and I said, I wonder when Monica started to appreciate the sweet potato patch, and then I got to chapter 9, and you answered my question.
It was a while. It was a while. Because it was hard work, but everybody was working that hard, and you come to appreciate the things that you learned and valued, and I mentioned to the group that my father passed away last August in 2014,
wow. okay.
and he was just a tremendous person who loved the earth and sharecropping. Even after we officially stopped sharecropping, he always planted a garden and things. I mean, he almost bought up the whole yard, putting things in it and mm-hmm. trees and fruit trees and lemon trees. But he taught us that, you know, it's always beginning anew.
Yeah.
Each growing season, yeah. you have a choice.
Right.
You can either bemoan what didn't happen last growing season.
Mm-hmm.
You can either move forward and face. And that
yeah.
I always envision him every growing season making that decision on that old John Deere tractor that he was going to try again.
Yeah.
And he was going to believe again. And he was going to plant a seed again and take all the steps to make it happen and reap that harvest after the growing season.
Yes, wow. Well, you know about the seasons, don't you?
I know
about
the
growing up in the life that you did. So we're in springtime now. Took spring a long time to get here, but finally made it. So spring cleaning, right?
Yes.
So we're just going to recap just a little bit
mm-hmm.
last week, and
mm-hmm.
then we're going to
come on
make out. Yes. So last week we started talking about the home,
mm-hmm.
and those things that have been put in our hands that we're responsible for, being good stewards. That's kind of where we were going with that. Spring cleaning. So it's time to kind of sweep out the dust. What are some of the things that in your life, I know, Monica, that that you were saying that there's stuff you have to make room for.
Right. There's stuff that we start to accumulate, and like most people, you turn around and go like, when did I accumulate all this stuff? Why do I need this stuff? What is this stuff? And what is this stuff?
Yeah.
I remember I shared when we were talking about what I could talk about. I started about 4, maybe 5 months ago deciding that I was going to get rid, discard, and donate what was in my
yeah.
house. And it got to the point where by the time my husband and I no longer had our office downtown, no longer had an apartment in Houston because we got an apartment after the storm. Just in case.
Right.
You know, that was another stuff. It was just in case.
Something else.
Something
yeah.
else.
Uh-huh.
So when we closed all those things, we brought everything into our home in Harvey. So you'd go into a room and they had boxes. And at one time I had 3 TV sets, those 19-inch ones. Nobody.
Yeah.
And so you just look around and you're like, I have all of this stuff. I said, we must begin to
yeah,
donate
yeah.
and purge
uh-huh.
and get fine homes or and throw away. And so I went through my office at home and I found floppy disks. I found rubber bands that were no longer rubber. They were more like sticks. And you were like, at what point was I holding on to things? I found stuff I wrote in 1999. It's like, oh, my goodness. So I decided that a percent was in my home is going to go. So we start accumulating this stuff, and we decide that we can't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But the
right.
truth is we must let it go. And it wasn't getting rid of the clothes that was the most challenging for me. It wasn't getting rid of, you know, clothes and shoes and pots and pans. It was getting rid and donating my books. Oh, I can understand that.
And precious to you.
Right. And I had so many books. I had probably 5 bookcases, and they were double stacked. I had closets where they were, I couldn't even see what the titles were. They were in the closet. They were in the corner. And I said, but I can't give this book away because someone gave it to me. Oh, I can't give this book away because, you know, 12 years ago, there was an author and the publishing company sent me this book. And I looked at my books, and they were all in such mint condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so challenging. But finally, after prayer and thinking about it, I said, you know, Monica, if you bless
someone
and release,
yeah.
Do you know if someone, whether they're homeless or making a transformation in their life, that they got a hold of just one of your books and they read it
mm-hmm.
and they got a hold of it, their lives would be changed forever because of that one book. So I started, I was a crazy woman at that point. I'm just packing up books. I'm packing up books with labels on them. Just, okay, Vietnam vets, come and get these books. Come and get these books. And I knew I was accumulating borderline hoarding when I had 2 and 3 copies of the same book.
Oh, my.
But this must come to an end.
I like the way you came to the point of saying, let me release some of this stuff because you thought about it in the sense of, let me bless someone else.
Let me bless someone else. And that's how I began to go through this whole, and I'm still going.
We have a lot of stuff
in my house that
yeah.
needs to be donated or discarded.
Uh-huh.
But just on the other end, who's going to wear this? Maybe it's a mom or a single mom or someone who's getting a job in it.
Yeah.
This would make a difference. Let her wear this scarf. Let her wear these earrings, whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
a new pot. Maybe someone who was burned. They could use this. And I hardly cook. Why do I have 5 big old pots? You know, only one will do. So it has been quite the journey. And number one, I remember I went to a closet and I found baby clothes, like for infants.
Baby clothes?
I don't even know how I got that.
Oh, what? I was going to ask you.
I have no clue.
Maybe it was a baby shower gift that you never.
It was a baby blanket, little toy. I mean, it was like for an infant, a newborn.
Maybe you were babysitting
it. I doubt that. But again, it was stuff that I had tucked away, forgot about it, and probably thought one day I'd go to a shower
right.
and it would be there. So, no. So hopefully someone found it, had it, and was donated and was blessed by it.
Yes. I like the way. And you talked about learning lessons from holding on to what no longer serves you. And this is what you're talking about right now.
Right.
Those books, the 2 copies of the same books and all that.
Oh, yeah.
The quote.
Yeah. And letting go of what I thought the person who gave it to me may think of me if they found out that I no longer had it. I had to let go of the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I had to let go of what I imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And the urn was probably nowhere on that.
Nah.
They probably forgot they gave it to you.
And they would be the way ones to say, Monica, go bless somebody.
Right,
you know,
right.
Don't worry about that.
But we do tend to think about that. This is something old Annie gave me or someone, and I don't want to, you know, let go of it. Be absolutely right.
Right,
let
it's an
go
heirloom. It's an heirloom,
it.
Or you spend money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but you're not using it.
Right.
You know, it's not using it. In a way, it's almost like allowing the weeds to take over your garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't get rid of things. You
mm-hmm.
won't remove it. And it's suffocating
the plant.
You can't see
anything.
Yes. Can't see it. Can't, so
no.
And this is a perfect time to start pruning.
Yes.
Those who are into gardening or into planting, you know that times come. The time will come when you have to not only get rid of the dead things,
mm-hmm. right.
but even some of the living things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cut that off.
Uh-huh.
Cut that back so that
yes. those living things that are in the way.
In the way and no longer serving.
Serving you.
Those relationships that are in the way
yes.
and no longer serving you.
Yes.
Somebody said, whoa!
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Those thought patterns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guilt, that victimization that we always
yes.
carry, that is just in the way and no longer serving us.
Got to clean that up.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a process and it's hard, but it's so necessary.
It is.
And it's step by step.
Wow. I'm going to mention your book again, Find My Soul in a Sweet Potato Patch, because I hear it coming out of you.
Definitely your background and your upbringing and those lessons learned from that sweet potato patch. I hear that when you're talking about the pruning and
right.
those lessons learned from your parents. It comes out of you. Did you realize that?
And, you know, when I spoke to the group two Sundays ago. And I always think, you know, when you're not from the country, you always think of something. Yeah, people might think this is country and not interested. But I saw the look in all of the women assembled's eyes. They could connect with that. And, again, I mentioned my father was a sharecropper. And it was like, he's handing me the torch.
Yes.
He's handing me the plow. He's handing me the weeder. He's handing me all of those things that he just did to feed his family, to keep food on the table, to share, to help, that I'm to use the metaphor and go on. And it really clicked when I saw your reaction to that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, Lord, I cannot get away from the chair prop.
But it's our upbringing that shapes us. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're seeing and hearing right now. Your upbringing is actually shaping who you are today.
I'm so glad
that you embraced it.
Yes.
And I know we'll hear a little bit about those times when you were finally out on your own. I know you were just chomping at the bit, waiting to get out the door and get out on your own.
Oh, yeah.
And once you finally did, the challenges that you had to face that were part of you having to do some cleaning up in your life, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I find sometimes with, you know, myself, I won't speak for everyone, there comes a time when, you know, we work so hard, you know, we try to people please, we try to do more than we really need to do. So I had to learn to deal with that. I had to learn to catch my thoughts. I would always have a drag down knockout fight in my head with somebody else. Like, what are you talking? So those types of things. And, you know, especially when I left the country and to college, it was just basically understanding that, you know, that you have a right and you're worthy to follow your dreams and figure these things out. And I have this whole process where I changed my major 3 times in school because I was, like, following and finding. And how it ends up is that I'm using a little bit of everything I majored in, whether it's education, whether it's psychology, or whether it's, you know, radio and television broadcasting. So I'm able to use those things. And, you know, just really know that there's going to be a way, that all the experiences, all the things that you pruned away and you learned from that are always going to be beneficial. You'll be able to use them in some way and figure some things out.
Yes. So nothing is a lost cause.
Nothing is a lost cause. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like on the farm, you know, you use the whole pig. You know, I love this, some non-meat eaters, but but yeah, we did all of that. And just always knowing that even when life hits you, even when the rains come and won't stop, even when there's no rain,
when there's a drought,
that you will be able to figure out what needs to be done and each season begin anew, that there is hope.
You have to find a way, don't you?
Absolutely. You can't just sit there and bemoan what didn't happen, who didn't help you, who didn't show up for you.
Or even what you did wrong.
Right, and then not being forgiving of what you did to yourself.
Right.
You know, those things, you have to cut away. You have to no longer gather in your spirit.
Right.
You know, you have to release that, discard that, because it's going to stand in the way. It'll be like a weed choking the plant, choking the nutrients off from your plant.
Yeah, I know there's so many areas that I'm not saying that I'm just this messed up person sitting here, but I know there's some things that need tending to in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, what do you think? When you're comfortable, the house is pretty much in order, right?
Yeah.
But this body,
goodness. Oh, yeah.
I went walking on Saturday. It was an accomplishment. I almost changed my mind. I thought it was going to rain. You know, got started. And I felt the little drops fall, and I'm like, and I just stayed right here in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know I've never thought about doing that before?
Just staying
in the neighborhood and walking the block? It just never dawned on me until I ran into my cousin's wife and in the store, and I was talking about exercising and that lion scale.
My scale lied to me,
or it's broken, but she said that she just walks around in her neighborhood. I said, I always think I have to go to Lafayette Park.
I always think I have to get
in the car and drive. And I said, you might think I'm crazy, but I never even considered just walking the block.
We often complicate things. I remember when we were talking about that, you said, oh, I have time for that, because I didn't know it at the time, but you were thinking, when I work out, I have to come home, change clothes, and then go back out.
Yeah.
But all this,
beautiful neighborhood. Yeah. I also do some work with them, and I've been moved to an area called the Warehouse, and
okay.
It's literally an old can company.
Okay.
And there are two people on the third floor. They just walk and walk and walk for 30 minutes.
Within the inside of the building.
Inside the building, where you see all the crates and everything, because it's really a can company near the freight elevator.
It's operational as a can company.
Not anymore.
Okay.
The school system is there, their annex building.
Mm-hmm.
But in this section, you know, it's just really kind of desolate. I mean, not desolate, but, you know, it's just... It's an area to walk, and they just walk and walk and walk for 30 minutes.
But again, you have to find a way to do what needs to be done.
Right. And is that also like similar when you look in your home, you look in your life or your office, whatever you want to clear or discard or donate, and you don't know, you start in the garage, you start in your bedroom.
Right.
Where do I start? And the key is to start.
Just step out my front door.
Right, and put that foot in front of each other and start walking. You know, start clearing out. And some people say, oh, I'll just do a room, I'll do a little dust, they just do a corner. You know, let's just keep going. So what I like to do is donate to Vietnam Vets, and they're like, they'll send you stuff. We'll be on your street this week. I'm going, okay, I'm going to go find a couple of boxes or something and put it in there.
So you know you got something to give them.
Yeah, I have to get on the schedule or something. So they're like, oh, we like this lady. She's always putting something on the front porch for us.
This is awesome, guys. We are talking about spring cleaning. Out with the old, in with the new. And this is part two.
Yes.
We often sometimes, if we have a topic and it seems like it's really good and there's so much that we left in the first show, we decide, let's talk about that a little bit more. And we have a guest. I would like to call her a co-host.
Thank you for that.
Can we move that? Thank you. And so we have Monica Pierre with us. And she's sharing with us some of her life learned along the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to give out a little information right now. If you want to call in and talk with us, you can dial the number 347-637-3604. I do see a few people on the switchboard. If you want to talk to us, go ahead and push the number 1. And we'll add your voice to the conversation. Maybe you want to tell us some areas that you need to clean up in your life.
Yes.
We're not going to be too hard on you.
And we had some homework last week. You guys were supposed to search, you know, do some research about the soul. So hopefully if you found some information out like I did, I learned a lot throughout the week just with that topic that we ended on. We want to hear what you have to say. So, you know, everybody's welcome in on this conversation.
Yes, we kind of started with cleaning up the home, doing spring cleaning there, and then with the body.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved on to the soul.
Yes.
So we're talking about everything, even if it's something we haven't mentioned
and
you want to put on the table, by all means, feel free to do that.
Demetria, I see around the room you have some Post-its.
I was inspired by Miss Monica Pierre.
She has a couple of websites, and one of them is PierrePrinciple.com. The other is MonicaPierrePresents.com. And I went Googling you this week and checking out your websites, looking at the little video, and this is what I noticed there: dream, motivate, believe, inspire. And that's what you do. That is what you do. Also, I saw Dream Out Loud.
Yes.
Dream Out Loud.
Right.
Yeah. A little bit about that, Dream Out Loud. It is a couple of things. It's what I really believe, that so many people, we have dreams, but we don't dream out loud. We don't take the dream or take what was given to us and manifest it.
Yeah.
We don't put it out into the world. We don't take action on it. So my goal is to encourage people to find a way to dream out loud. So that's how that came about. I also did my one-woman show with one of my characters called The Dream Out Loud. So it's just a matter of having the courage, the confidence, the clarity to figure these things out. And it starts with a step. It starts with one thing. As human beings, we always want to, and they tell us, start with the end in mind and work backwards. But sometimes the end is so big and so overwhelming
right.
that we don't start, period.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
So one of the things I always share with people, because I spoke to a guy years ago, and he always said, do 3 things a day, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what if I just did 1 thing a day? And I found something to do, like, you know, you put your shoes on, you walk out your
right.
front door, that's something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And at the end of a year, you would have done 365 things.
If you did 1 thing.
If you did 1 thing a day. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of momentum. That's a lot of dreaming out loud. That's a lot of action
mm-hmm.
on what you truly want, as opposed to saying, well, if I can't, you know, eat the entire elephant
right.
in 1 bite, I'm not even going to put my mouth and try to take a nibble. I'm saying, you know, nibble, nibble, nibble. You
right.
know, before long, it's all done.
And what I'm hearing is you move at your own pace. I mean, it's good to get advice from someone else. You know, that's good. We motivate one another. But you took what he said, 2-3 things, and you found something that would fit for
right.
Monica.
Absolutely.
And you did 1 thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I trust people because we know we
yeah.
all go to seminars and
yeah.
conferences.
Yeah.
And people, well-intentioned, will give you the 7 keys, the 20 steps, the 14 pieces.
Yes.
You know, everybody, you know, we all know.
But
it's,
you can always take something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would say, and we all kind of know what resonates within us.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the 3, even though I love the number 3, I love
mm-hmm.
the Trinity, I knew that was too many. I just knew it.
Right.
I just knew it. So instead of
burn yourself
and feel like a failure, 1 more thing to feel bad about
yeah.
that you didn't accomplish, just do 1 thing. And
took
again,
the pressure off.
Took the pressure off. And then the momentum took
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that you were able to do these things. So I encourage your listeners, a ministry along the way, to find out, you know, just 1 thing. And again, if that's too much, you don't want to do a year, do 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And keep track and
mm-hmm.
see what happens.
I like that. Just because you can't do the big thing doesn't mean you should do nothing.
Correct. It doesn't excuse you
not to do anything because, oh, I can't climb the mountain, but how about just
climb, you know, do the ditch over here or just do the hill over here?
You know what? I think this might be a good time to take a break. Do you think we could hear one of those characters?
I will
come back
on
that.
Right?
Yeah. All righty. We are going to be along the way. I am going to be we'll be right back.
Joining us once again tonight on Ministry Along the Way Radio. I'm one of your co-hosts, Demetria.
I am Tanya, and we have a special co-host in
Monica Pierre.
All righty. And today we are talking about spring cleaning. out with the old, in with the new. This is Spring Cleaning Part 2. And, guys, if you want to participate in on this conversation and see some folks on the switchboard, by all means, please press 1. Now, before we segue out for the break, Demetria, you asked Monica if she would play for us.
Performance, yes.
This is awesome.
Tell
us about your One Woman Show.
Well, again, it all starts with a step here, a beginning, a cleaning out, a thing. One of the things I always wanted to do, my mom would tell me when I was a little girl, I always wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
Don't know where that came from. Nobody in my family was an actress. We had a little black, white TV. We watched TV. But I always thought I would be this actress and that I would be so famous that I was always nominated for an Oscar. And, of course, I always have these deathbed scenes, and that's about me having the Oscar nomination for it. I would always win.
Okay.
And, of course, this is my dream as a little girl. I didn't major in theater. I went on and did other things, but I always wanted to act. And you know how in life we say, oh, if it was this, I would do this. And if it wasn't for this, I didn't have this to deal with. And I would just complain into myself. I would love to be in a play, but they rehearse at night, and I have an early morning show, and I can't get up. And I'm telling you, God whispered to me and said, Monica, you stop your whine. If you want to act, you act. And I'm going, okay. And all of a sudden, these thoughts and these characters just started coming to me. I was driving on the I-10, and I'd get this thought about fear and what would fear look like.
Mm-hmm.
What if we put fear on trial? What would be the outcome? I started thinking about how people discourage us. And then all of a sudden I had a scene about a little girl who lives in the country and wants to become an astronaut and how everybody is discouraging her. And then I thought about most people who always say, well, you know, I have this dream, but no one really understands. No one sees how important it is to me.
Yeah.
They ask me about everything, what would I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what if someone could really encourage us? And oftentimes people want mom or dad or brother to be the encourager, but there's someone right over here who wants to encourage us, and we don't recognize
that. Mm-hmm.
So an old Cajun woman came as a result of that. And these characters just really started. As people brought me in to speak, I just started doing the character.
That's awesome.
I just started doing them. I was like, okay, let's do a character all together. And oh, God, it's so good because I was teaching an adjunct professor at Dillard University.
Okay.
And a student I met, befriended, she wasn't even in my class. And she goes, you know, Monica, you should put all these characters in a show, a one-woman show. I said, okay. She goes, I'll direct it. I'll direct it. I'm going, okay. For me, a mic, and a student? She goes, no, we're going to do a whole thing. So she got all her classmates, we had lighting, we had sound, we had sets were built, everything. And so I said, okay, let's do it. She goes, well, where's the script? I said, I don't have a script. They're all in my head. She goes, no, you need a script. So I finally wrote them down after all that time.
Uh-huh.
So that's how it came about. And again, people are going to be sent along the way to help you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
For a reason, a season, a lifetime, but they'll be there for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you going to bring
us
today? This
is like spring cleaning. What are the characters? Her name is Janine.
And
Janine is blonde. She's
okay.
In her 40s.
Okay.
She works at a radio station.
Okay.
She smokes cigarettes. And so it's time for a break. So she wants to go out and take a cigarette break. And so she goes outside, and she goes, I know, honey, that ain't good for me. I'm going to quit. I have a few bad habits that I'm still working on. You know, I remember the first time my daddy caught me smoking behind the hen house. I had to be no more than 13 if that. Daddy was so mad. He whooped me real good, and he sweared to me that I would never, ever smoke another cigarette. And I said, no, Daddy, I'll never smoke another cigarette. But before long, it was me, them chickens, and my cigarettes. I really don't mind coming out here to smoke my cigarette. Gives me a moment to think about my life. My daddy used to say, Janine, only a fool don't take time to think about his life. Well, I guess I was always a little bit different and faster than my 12 brothers and sisters growing up in Locust Ridge, Tennessee.
Well, I'm looking at you. I bet you don't know what that is, now, do you?
Well, it's in the Smoky Mountains. Dolly Parton, the country singer, she's from there.
Folks always did say me and Dolly got a lot in common. I like to wear my hair real big, just like Dolly. Now, this here ain't no wig. It ain't really blonde, but again, that's my wig. Oh, and I have these, you know, fellas, just like Dolly, except that mine's all real. No, yeah, coming outside to think ain't my problem for me. Taking a moment to think about your life ain't the easiest thing in the world. You got to tell the truth. You got to figure out what you did to cause the mess that you're in. I figure that's why a lot of folks don't like thinking about their lives. I never really thought past my cigarettes and my good timing. I never thought life really expected too much out of me. And, honey, I was fine to oblige. I used to say, why want more than you see when you look around? Why pine away for the mansion if you're only going to end up in a shack anyway? So I kept my dreams and my goals real small. I just wanted to have fun, do fun things, see places, and not have to think too much. I guess I didn't think too much when I hooked up with Mickey Rang. Oh, girl, he had the prettiest face for a man I ever did see. Blue eyes that put the moon to shame. Always smells so nice and a real smooth talker. Mickey Ray could talk a dead man out of his coffin. He had me. I didn't care what nobody thought or nobody said. As long as I had my cigarette, my good time, and Mickey Ray, the world was all right with me. Then I guess I forgot myself and started thinking about a decent life, Mickey Ray. I wanted to get married and have a couple of kids. I figured with Mickey Ray's pretty face, sweet smell, and sweet talking self, we'd have some real pretty kids and a calm life. Mickey Ray said he had too much living to do to settle down with any one woman. I never did have no kids with Mickey Ray. And in the scene, she goes on to talk about her life and how she finally decides that she could want more and be more in life. And we go through that, where we look at what we have and what we didn't throw away and what we didn't discard and what we didn't donate, and we go, I just have more than this. Mm-hmm. And her moment, her defining moment, was when Janine was actually sitting down, looking at her life, bemoaning what she didn't have, and she comes across this minister who's on television. And she said, he's just up and down. Just preaching, and that she never really liked anyone preaching to her. But the moment she went to turn the television set, it was this, that preacher was speaking to her, and she said she just started thinking about her life and what she wanted. Mm-hmm. And she said she came to the realization that she could have more. She could stop settling for crumbs, and that if she really wanted the mansion, she didn't have to settle for the shack. So it's just different things like that.
Monica, that was awesome.
Thank you. We're all Janine.
Yeah.
Beautiful in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so much to clean up sometimes in our thinking,
mm-hmm.
and just from what we've been through in life, and it's piled up a lot of negativity, and we have to sweep that stuff out.
Absolutely.
Do some dusting,
and get rid of the dust in the corner, mm-hmm. and know that we are deserving,
yeah.
of God's love. We're deserving,
yeah.
of a life, mm-hmm. that is positive.
Absolutely.
And good, and that we're not just chained to our past,
mm-hmm.
that we can examine our life and not get stuck in that,
yeah.
but move forward and know that we can want more. And, of course, when you pine away or you want the mansion, it's also a metaphor. It's for,
mm-hmm.
something different.
Right.
It's for something.
Absolutely.
Different, something better,
mm-hmm.
something that you want. You know, perhaps you did what the world expected you to do, and maybe you became a doctor, maybe you became a
right.
lawyer, but you know.
Your mansion may be being a pastry chef.
Absolutely,
yes.
because
yes.
you love to create. You know, you love to heal. You love to plant something,
mm-hmm.
and that you can look around and want and connect with what is truly placed in
yeah.
your heart.
Yeah. I said that, but when I heard you say that, I have a cousin who lives in LA,
And she had a really wonderful paying job, you know, and she did everything. Her parents paid for her to go to school, and she took that degree and she made something of it, you know. But at one point she looked at herself in the mirror and she said, what am I doing? This job is taking me away from my family. And she had this love of baking. And she absolutely went to Le Cordon Bleu, and she became a pastry chef. And so when I heard that, I thought about the conversations I've had with her. And so it can be the doctor to something else. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's not always, you know, I want to aspire to be the actress or actor or the physician or the lawyer. It can be any profession.
It can be anything
that gives you pleasure.
Right.
That
gives you pleasure and also gives God glory.
Gives God glory.
And the cleaning can come about when we have to let go of what we think others will think of our decision.
Mm-hmm.
If we think that people think we're going to be nuts, I remember Oprah had on her show this adult physician,
mm-hmm.
but all she wanted to do was spin music, spin records.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom even said, I know she's happy, but I don't get it.
I don't get it.
You know, and sometimes people just won't get it.
It's not for them to get it.
It's not for them to get it.
It's for you.
It's for you to
yeah.
get it.
Mm-hmm.
But we all want, I mean, you know people who will tell you, I just wake up every day just excited.
Mm-hmm.
I love what I'm doing. And you go like, wow.
You want to be that person.
You want to be that person. You know, how courageous was that person
right.
to say that I'm going to do and that the joy is there. And when we're living and we're manifesting what was placed inside, the world is a better place.
And
yeah.
you're correct. You said, God, you heard the whisper. And basically, Monica, just stop complaining
stop,
and do
stop,
it.
Stop
and you were obedient
right.
to that voice.
Right. And
then,
look what I got in return.
But and that's giving him the glory.
Mm-hmm.
You were being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you pointed that out.
Right. And
mm-hmm.
it's just, and, you know, I tell people, look, I'm not classically trained.
No,
I'm not trained at all. I just
I
have
mean,
a thought.
Folks, you tell, you know,
I just had a thought.
As I was sitting here listening, you know, just as you were going through Janine, and I just jotted down and I said, you are really living out your dream. I mean, you're taking everything that you wanted to do from radio to the woman show, and just hearing that you started this from pretty much nothing.
Yeah, just driving in my car going, oh, okay, I like that. Okay, I'll think about that. And I have the people who call me, and I would just start doing it. And I remember I went back cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
I went back, and one of my closets was a mess. This
mm-hmm.
was last week, and I was going through old cards
mm-hmm.
and letters. And there was a testimonial written from a company, a small company, and she said, we're sitting, and all of a sudden, we're transformed to this front porch where this little girl, Molly Gale, is sitting. And I'm going, wow. And you think, well, okay, God, all right. And
I hear you.
And I'm just so grateful. And to reconnect. And when my father passed, my mom was going through pictures, and she said, you always wanted to be an actor. And I said, well, Mom, you know, I know that it took me in any school to learn to act. So I said, well, did I say something? She goes, when other little, you know, girls and boys wanted to do other things, you just wanted to perform. And I tell people, I don't know where it came from. I can be in a room with two people. 20,000
people.
It doesn't matter to me. I love the energy from the room.
Well, that's when you know you're doing something that you're purposed for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter. You have that much peace. It just doesn't matter.
And I'll be honest, too, I'm just getting to the place where I use the word acting and actor. I would never say it.
You didn't think you deserved it?
I didn't think that I had maybe deserved it, but I hadn't prepared myself.
Okay.
I hadn't studied. I hadn't proven myself.
The traditional way.
Mm-hmm. You know,
you
yeah.
own it, though, Monica.
And I'm going.
You own it, though.
I do. I say, yeah, I act, I
yeah.
perform, I whatever. And
well, you have to say that, because if you don't, then when we tend to not, it's almost like you're not calling something the name that it is.
Yeah.
Then it's not. So, I mean, what you did, that was acting. And if you go around calling it something else,
right.
I kind of
I just said it for the people.
Yeah. You're almost acting, you know.
Right.
So you are an actor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank all the beautiful people who made this possible.
Yeah.
Ministry Along the Way for having on the show.
I love it. And I am truly inspired. I was not at the the event that Demetria had gone to when she first met you, but just hearing some of the stuff she talked about, and I'm going, I said, the last thing I remember, you know, I remember the radio. I was into radio too much. No, I wasn't too much. But there's so much about you. There's so much there. I mean, there's so much there, and I'm so glad that you've inspired me to just go out and do it. I often say that all the time. Just do it, Tanya. Simplify stuff. Yeah. So don't put so much into it. You know, just go out and put that one step further. And so to have another woman to encourage is a good thing. You say, just go do it.
Right.
I'm just hearing some of the things you've done. It's just like, wait a minute. It didn't take an entourage.
Oh, no.
It didn't take an entourage. You had an idea and you ran with it.
Right.
Several ideas.
Yeah. In January, I did the one-woman show. It's called Monica Live, Be My Loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a room, and we did social media, and people were saying, we knew you did things, but we didn't know you did this.
See?
You know, one lady, she goes, I know you. I thought I knew you, but I don't know you.
I didn't know about that.
And I'm going, okay.
I didn't know that.
Go do more.
You've been
doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, after Katrina, your voice on the radio. And the reason I remember is my daughter, Ashley, whose birthday was yesterday, y'all.
Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday, Ash.
She says, what's a Monica Pierre? She's on every station. Like, does every station have a Monica Pierre? And I just laughed. Who knew one day I was going to be meeting you and you'd be in the blue room at my house?
In the blue room.
And I told Ashley, remember that lady that just thought was on every radio station? She's gonna be on the show.
Oh my goodness.
And now you've explained kind of how that happened before the show started. You were telling us how you were on different stations and doing different things. You've been doing a lot for a lot of years, but then it sounded like this is what I've gathered. It was time to change. It was time for a change to come in a shifting. So it was time to clean some of that out of the way, and you launched out into new arenas.
Right, and it was time to clean. Mm-hmm. The label that people had on me, the serious journalist, the Emmy Award-winning journalist. I always tell people, I'm really a silly person. I really like being in front of people and performing and acting, and that's what I like to do. So that was okay for me to just to shed that one-dimensional perception and image that people have and let them know that this is the Monica.
You're not just one dimensional. I mean, it's okay to have that serious side. You're not, that side is not gone, but there's so much more about you.
Yeah. And I love it. I love talking to people about their dreams. I really do. And their heart's desire. And if we can figure one thing out or whatever.
This is a big deal for me. You know, and like I said, growing up listening to you, seriously. And now you're here, and I was a humble, with my shoes on. Voice, I mean, so articulate and just,
accomplished in your field.
Yes.
And
you're
taking
the
time to pay us to visit.
Yes.
This is the place to be.
And initially, I remember when you were talking about possibly when we're going to do the meet and greet, and you thought about, having Monica as, maybe one of the panelists. And then the next call I get was, the next text was, Monica's going to be on a show. I'm like, what? When you were getting prepared for this one-woman show, or the young lady who planted that seed and said, Monica, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then God lined everything up for you.
Beautiful.
And so Demetria thought about this show, taking our conversations and putting it on blast for everyone else to hear and be a part of it. When God has just been lining it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been effortlessly.
And you guys are really, really good, and I really want to continue to encourage you that, again, we don't have to wait until we have 7 microphones and a producer and a TV crew taping it. This is a beautiful, beautiful beginning, and continue to do it knowing that you're doing a great job. I would tell you if it was raggedy. I would tell you.
And I would want to.
It's not raggedy.
There'll be some questions for you when we have this. We're not going to have this great mind in the room and have you go out there and do it without me asking you for some pointers.
My pleasure. Loving
it. Folks, listening in, we do have a few callers on our switchboard. If you want to add your voice to the conversation, go ahead and press the number 1. would love for you to talk to Monica and just tell us about what's going on in your life. And
I would love that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's so important to encourage us and maybe have that fresh set of ears and eyes. Yeah. You know, you maybe something that you're working on feels stuck. And perhaps the three of us, we could come up with something.
And let me tell you, when she sat at that table the other Sunday, and as each person who wanted to share something, she was taking notes.
Oh, yeah.
Just like people were talking, and I could see it. She was just jotting down something would catch your attention, and you would jot it down. And then you would come and you would probe a little and just kind of pull it out of you. You are a motivator.
Thank you. Reporter, motivator, all kinds of things.
Yeah,
I love dreams. I can't even tell you when it began, but I love the dreams of others. And perhaps part of it is to encourage the dreams of others, to put something into the hearts of others. Can you imagine a world where 7 billion people will do what God created them to do, what this world would look like, how much light there would be in the darkness?
Right.
If everyone had the freedom and the flexibility and the permission that they grant themselves to do it,
I had that thought one time writing on the Crescent City Connection. It's just like, God, if we just did what you want for us to do and not complicate things, you know, just, man, this world would be awesome. It would be awesome. Totally awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally awesome.
So last week we gave out that homework assignment. We talked soul and doing some soul clear. And I want to ask, what do you ladies, when you think of the soul, how do you define it?
Wow, that's such a tough one. What is the soul? How do you define it? I think it's that, not necessarily a spot, but it's that innocent place where God sits, where we allow God to sit, where we allow God to move and breathe in us, where it's that moment where God can talk to us.
Yeah.
I like that. Tanya,
well, I did some homework.
Yes. Because I want the homework out there. So I said I better do my own homework, you know. But so in doing that, because I came across Genesis 2 and 7, and when it said, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils in the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And as I began to think about that scripture throughout the day, I said, it's our character. Like the soul is who we are. You know, God created this body. He breathed life into that body, and that particular body became its own self. Mm. And then as I began to dig a little bit deeper, just seeing how people were relating the soul to the affectionate part of who we are, and that can mean anything. It can be how do you love, the loving side, the lustful side, the right side, you know, if you make right decisions, bad decisions, it's our, and I kept saying character, it's who we are. And sometimes you when we say a person may have a, you know, like their soul is lost, like that's a lost soul, because some things that they're doing is just not right, you know. So that's a lost soul. That their character is just not right. Or that's a joyful soul. Man, you have, Monica, you do. You have a joyful soul. And so you can see that by your personality and just by about how you want to pour into other people. So, again, it's that your character, you know. And like you said, that deepest part in you, no one can emulate that. That's
correct.
You. Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah. We each have our own, you know, personal stamp. So.
Yes. And I look at it as it's that inner life.
Uh-huh.
If I could just say it that simply,
uh-huh,
as I thought about it and wanted a simple definition of it, it's the inner life.
Mm-hmm.
The things we talked about, the home, the body, even getting organized, whether that's at work or in a relationship, that's outer life. Those are things that that can be touched, that we have control over maybe. The soul is like a mystery.
Mm.
At times it can be a mystery, I think more often than not. And so that's why it's so important that we pay attention to our souls and do some soul tending.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm writing it down.
And like last week, we said, I can't tell you any one way to do that,
mm-hmm,
to care for the soul, again, I think that's an individual thing between you and your creator and God. I mean, you know, just to let him pour into you and tell you how he wants it cared for. Get the listening ear,
allow the Holy
and let him
speak.
Be quiet. I read in your book, I didn't put that one up, but I read you talked about being quiet in your book.
Right, right.
So that you can recognize.
You can recognize. And again, you know, especially in media, everything is so loud. It gets louder and louder. Everybody's screaming on top of each other. And we don't know how to be alone with our thoughts and alone with ourselves. And when we get quiet, when we find the time to get quiet, we hear.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, in the midst of our tears and, you know, crying and asking God for help, you know, we hear those answers. We hear God say, quit your whining.
Yes.
In a very loving way.
But he's not in
it.
But quit the whining. I like the way you said that earlier, and it reminded me of myself once upon a time when I was wanting to do this and that and just never took a step to do it, and I started getting on my own nerves. Like, you know what? I sound like a broken record. Sounds like that's what happened to you and God.
Exactly. Put your mind in. Yeah, go ahead. You want to act, go ahead.
Yes.
You know, and you're right. We complicate it, Tanya, so much, you know. Other people, I want to sing, and I'm going, well, go sing at a nursing home.
Start singing.
Yeah.
And in those quiet moments, you can hear God speak to you and center your soul again and get it aligned with the rest of you. You center the soul, and then maybe we'll get the house in order, we'll get the relationships in order, we'll get the job in order.
Correct.
In your notes last week, you had it jotted down, mind, body, and spirit. It was body, home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw somewhere where it was body, spirit, and soul, and how the three connected.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear you all saying is listen to, you know, being still so that we can listen to God. And so as I kept digging, it just kept coming back, listening to the Holy Spirit. So when we say just listening, allowing that Holy Spirit to help us to balance and guide the soul and feed into the soul, you know. So I gave myself a regimen, a little small. We work out, and we kind of give ourselves a workout regimen in order to maintain the outward, you know, and also the inner body. But just coming up with some things, how to protect the soul, how to nourish the soul, and be mindful of what we plug into to our soul. So, and before I get into mine, see someone.
We do have a caller who'd like to chat with us. Caller, I'm going to make you live. Go ahead and tell us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, my name's Aaliyah from Pensacola.
Hi, Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah.
Hi, Missy. Hey, Missy.
Hi.
I'm Missy.
Yes. You're going to hear that.
Okay.
Aaliyah, thank you for calling in, Aaliyah.
You're welcome. I wanted to. I love the topic today. I love it.
Great. So I'm glad you've been following me. Go ahead and tell us what you have to say.
Oh, no. I was thinking with the spring cleaning theme, and basically it's the mind, body, and soul. I came across this quote the other day, and it's basically what I'm feeling. And it's, the closer you come to knowing that you alone create the world of your experience, the more vital it becomes for you to discover just who is doing the creating. And what I get from it is when you realize that you have control over what your dreams are and how your dreams can manifest, then that is when you can realize that you should take time to yourself and figure out who you are as a person. And that's how I'm spring cleaning, by taking out the fear and taking out the judgment that I may hold. Because I'm not sure. I need to figure out if my judgments are based out of bias or fact. And, you know, I'm just getting to know myself. So that's my spring cleaning.
I think that's awesome.
That's awesome. Absolutely.
Isn't
that's powerful.
And this is a young woman.
Aaliyah's 18 years old.
Fantastic, mm-hmm. Aaliyah. I mean, again, it's just so wise.
And you know what? Aaliyah is an actress. She was acting in her high school drama club. I actually drove to Pensacola to see her in Steel Magnolias.
awesome.
She was awesome. She made the show.
I'm telling you. That's fantastic.
She played Weezer.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Aaliyah. She's quiet and mild mannered, but she played Weezer, the cranky one. And she did it.
You
awesome.
Come alive when you're on stage, right?
Yeah.
She's an awesome, awesome young woman.
Well, I would like to encourage you, Aaliyah, to continue on. To be bold, because when you do that, you help us,
mm-hmm.
others,
mm-hmm.
say, well, you know, if she can do it, we can find the courage to do it. And you're a light in the world. I don't really know you, but soul to soul, I think there's already a connection that those who are listening can pick up and just keep being an inspiration to so many. And people are watching,
yes.
and cheering you along, so you continue on.
And we're talking about you, Aaliyah, because I know I talk about you. And it's
you
all good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaliyah.
Love you.
So
thank you. You guys have a good night. All right. Bye.
You too. It's awesome. We are going to take another break right now. Along the Way Radio. We are back from our break with Ms. Monica Pierre, our guest host tonight.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is absolutely fantastic.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Good time.
I'm glad. Monica shared with us a few moments ago one of her characters from her one-woman show, and we want to hear some more from you.
Well, one of the ones that I really like, and I can tell you about how this particular character came about. You know, the whole idea of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, as I was driving on the I-10, I guess I do a lot of driving on the I-10, Interstate 10, was what does fear look like? You know, what does this fear look like? And if you had to draw fear, what would it be? So I started thinking about fear. And this scene came about, and it's called Fear on Trial. It is the 23rd century. And fear has finally been captured and placed on trial for the crimes against humanity. For too long, fear has stood in the path of realized dreams, paralyzing the soul and resolve of those who started out on their journey so full of hope and so full of promise. For too long, fear has laughed and mocked humanity. Fear must answer for its crime. This is the trial of the millennium. This court will come to order. Fear, you are accused of crimes against humanity. We, the judges of the high court, will decide your fate. You have chosen to defend yourself. After a lengthy trial, it's time for closing argument. Fear, present your closing argument. Judges of the High Court, I have been accused of stealing the hopes and dreams of humanity.
During this long and difficult case, horrible things have been said about me. I have been called vile names. Thief, bully, coward, manipulative, although I do prefer the word seductive. And yet, I have been called evil. I ask you, is this the face of evil? I have opted not to call a single witness to clear my good name because this is an open and shut case. I am not guilty, and I offer as my defense mankind itself. But mankind is always looking for someone or something to blame. Fear. I am the scapegoat. I get blamed for everything. Think about it. Fear of public speaking, fear of asserting oneself, fear of aging, fear of losing a loved one, fear of failure, fear of change. Oh, I get blamed, and it's just not right. Those of you in the courtroom, surely you feel my pain. Surely you understand that I am the victim here. Put yourselves in my shoes. Alone in the world, despised, blamed, and so misunderstood. The prosecution has paraded witness after witness, each person claiming that I stood in the way of success and fulfillment, each witness lamenting about dreams that slipped through their fingers like sand, and they whined about time that ran out, opportunities that vanished because I caused them to hesitate, to wait until all things were perfect, that I caused them to lose love. Fear caused them to stay in relationships that were toxic and smothering. Ugh, forget it. Thank goodness I'm not on some therapist's couch right now trying to get in touch with my wounded child. Here's the honest, hard-to-swallow truth. Humanity is to blame for all of its missed opportunities and deferred dreams. Humanity is to blame for living in despair and resentment. And frankly, I have had it up to here with humanity's moaning and weeping. I've grown weary of the finger-pointing and the attack on my character. I am the victim here. For all I did was... You will never save enough money to buy the house you really want. All I did was... You were born on the wrong side of the tracks. All I did was whisper. You don't have any connections or any business trying to better yourself. All I did was... You feel like a fraud, don't you? Don't worry. Everybody will soon figure you out. And I whisper these things about you to your mother and your father and your sister and your brother and your co-worker and, yes, even your high and mighty church member. And they were all too willing to repeat it. And you stopped working on your dreams. You gave up or, in most cases, never even got started. And you looked in the mirror and saw eyes swollen from hours of weeping, and you blamed me. But you were the ones who didn't have the guts to pick yourselves up. You, humanity, stayed down, stayed depressed, and begged for someone to do for you what you could have and should have done for yourself. You were the ones who refused to try again, unaware that had you hung in there one more year, one more month, one more week, one more day, one more hour, one more time, you would have realized your dream, but you got scared and you blamed me. You want the truth. You want the secret of my existence. You want to know what keeps me alive century after century. Well, it's because of you. I can't do anything without your permission. I live because of you. You want to put someone on trial, you put yourselves on trial. judges of the high court, I rest my case. Fear. The high court has reached a verdict. Face your accusers. We, the high court, find you guilty of stealing the hopes and dreams of humanity. Take fear away. You'll never get rid of me.
Never.
And that's how the scene ends.
Wow. Father, that was powerful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Powerful. A whisper.
A whisper. And I remember I wasn't driving on the interstate the time when the whisper came. I was doing a seminar, and I had this outfit on, and it was tight around my stomach. I liked it, but it was a little snug. Because I'm the kind, like, the top is one size and the bottom is something else. So it was tight. And all I kept hearing was, they're looking at your stomach. They're looking at your stomach. And I said, fear? Just whispering to me. Yes. It's trying to knock me off my game. And that's how the whisper part and all the things that fear can whisper. And then whisper to someone else about you, and then that person repeats it to you. That
there's so much to think about with that scene. There's so much there that just shines a mirror even, you know, just to examine ourselves. And what we've allowed fear to hold us back from. I'm thinking about when you were talking about one of your college professors who told you how inarticulate you were.
Yeah.
And some other things, too.
Yeah, poor pronunciation. Voice needs a lot of work.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm from Church Point, Louisiana, originally, and everyone sounds like Bobby Hebert. He used to be the same.
Okay.
We're all Cajun.
Yeah.
And I changed my major for the third time, and he just so. Critique was just searing, you know, and I started thinking there's just no way I can change my major for a fourth time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I'm going, well, maybe if I record myself, I'll hear what he says. And, and that's what I did. And I'm thinking, no, he's kind of right.
Okay.
So I worked on some things.
So like Janine said, sometimes we have to face the truth.
The truth, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was.
It's that fear factor, though. Because I'm sure after he said that.
Oh, demoralizing.
Yeah.
You know, again. And what I also thought is that he didn't really know me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know how important going to school was
mm-hmm.
for me and my sister at the time. He didn't know that we were sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that we had faced adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not know that.
Right now.
He did not know that. He don't know me. In fact, one of the lines in Miss Tilly, the woman who's the Cajun woman, and she's always encouraging the young women in the dormitory because she cleans up.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to share with them. And she said she would tell the students that the professor may know his books, but he don't know you. He don't know nothing about you. He don't know that. People don't know,
mm-hmm.
and they can critique, and they may be in a position to critique or give us that evaluation, but they don't know you.
I live with that, though. Not putting it in those words, but, yeah, you don't know me.
You don't know me.
This is who I am. I'm comfortable in my skin. This is who I am. I take this little Southern accent all the way to L.A. with my kinfolk, and sometimes when I'm having to do lobbying work in Congress, and I am who I am. This is who I am. And I'm not uncomfortable. This is who I am.
Right.
Yes.
And to be confident in that,
yes.
to be clear about
yes.
that is what's going to help you to continue to stand.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, and we all know it, if you change to please them, you'll never change enough.
Yes.
There'll be
always be something. So, right. As you were doing fear, I heard we sometimes allow fear to paralyze us. It'll freeze us up, you know, and we just go nowhere, you know. So that
is so quick because,
mm-hmm.
okay, great, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you start hearing, well, who are you to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And what will they think? And no one's going to pay you to do this.
You don't have these credentials.
You don't have these credentials.
Mm-hmm.
You're not an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't study. And
mm-hmm.
and you go, okay, I guess I won't do anything.
Yes. My cousin's birthday is today. He made 40.
And he's on the job, and you know, and he says, "Cousin, he moved out to Atlanta." He said, "I'm starting all over again, and I'm a little frustrated because I got the younger guys. They're teaching me." He's an electrician, and he went from air conditioning to electrician. So anyway, he's a little frustrated with that. And I said, "You know what? It's okay, because we're always supposed to learn. We're always supposed to evolve. Don't worry about that." And then, by the way, he's such a quick learner. If there are Barnes and Nobles around where you are, go to Barnes and Nobles and get your book. And I kind of shared with him a time when I was thrown into a job and I had to teach myself. I said, go to the bookstore and get your book. And he said, you know what, cousin, you're right. I'll do that. I will do that. So sometimes we do allow fear to cripple us. And if we don't have people like you, you know, Demetria, and motivating one another, we sometimes mm-hmm. are stuck in that crippling state.
Right.
You know?
I remember right after Katrina, mm-hmm. I ran into someone, and we were in Baton Rouge, and of course the person had lost her home as well. And she said, "Oh, you know, I don't have my home." And I said, "What are you going to do?" "Well, you know, I've always wanted to live in California." And I
mm-hmm.
said, "Well, this is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now is the time." She said, "Yeah, Katrina washed away my house, but didn't wash away my fear."
Come on.
And she never went to California.
Wow.
And she recognized.
She recognized it, but went no further. She recognized it, but went no further.
Wow.
So, yeah. But again, we can be a part of keeping that lie going. Because
yes,
we believe
yes,
it.
Yes,
and
yes.
We get paralyzed by it.
Paralyzed.
You don't know, fear didn't, you know, my fear didn't drown in the storm, so I'm just going to stay here. And,
you know, we think that if you recognize it, then you're going to change it. Not necessarily
nope.
so.
No. Awareness is only part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Action yeah. is a very acknowledgement, recognize action.
Yeah.
Unless you take that action
mm-hmm.
to change
yes.
it, you're still 10 years later.
I wish I should have,
would have, could have.
Yeah.
Not doing it, living somewhere that you want to live.
Mm-hmm. We do have a caller.
Hello. How are you
Hi.
Today? And who do we
Hello?
Have calling? Hi.
Shira.
Hi, Shira. How are you?
I'm great. How are you ladies doing?
Fine. Thank you for calling.
No problem.
Go ahead and share with us.
Well, you know, I just wanted to basically call and congratulate each of you ladies, Monica, Tanyelle, and Demetria, for pursuing your heart's desires and encouraging others while doing so. So I've been enjoying the show tonight, and I just wanted to call in and congratulate you ladies.
Thank
well,
you
thank
for that
you. So much. That is so well received and so appreciated. Thank you, Shira.
Let me tell you a little bit about Shira, okay? Because she is just a firecracker. I don't know what else to call her. But she's got her own boutique. She is a stylist. She is a fashionista. She's Miss Glamour herself. And this has been Shira all her life. So she knew she wanted to have her own boutique for when she grew up. What am I going to do when I grow up, you know? So she pursued her dream. How many years now, Shira?
This month makes, well, last month made 9 years. So I'm just grateful
wow.
to be able to, yeah, do
I
what I enjoy doing.
9 years. Go ahead and tell us the name of your boutique and tell us some of what you're doing. You have an
sure.
event coming up. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Sure. The name of the boutique is David Lee's Boutique, named in memory of my father, David Lee Ray. we actually are gearing up to host our second annual Couture for a Cause event, which will be held in New Orleans at the Metro. It will benefit the American Heart Association. I lost my father, he was 40, to a heart attack. So, I just want to continue to give back and try to, you know, educate and save lives, and all while doing something that I really enjoy. But, you know, just to tap in just a little bit about, you know, what you ladies have been talking about tonight, fear, it really can take over, because, Demetria, you know some of the challenges that I've had to overcome in business. A couple years into opening, the store, our store was robbed. My store was robbed. And not only was the store robbed, but the young lady that was working there, which was a family friend of ours, she was injured. The guy took a razor to her face. So quite naturally, people didn't want to come in the store. I mean, things just plummeted immediately. I mean, I went from doing so very well to no one feeling safe coming in. And I just kept pressing forward. I prayed. I asked God to remove the fear that was starting to take over. Because quite naturally, you know, the guy was still out there. No one felt comfortable coming in the store. But when God plans, when you know where you're supposed to be, no matter what goes on, then he'll bring you through it. And I'm just so grateful that 7 years later, you know, day by day, I'm growing, the business is growing, and I'm able to touch people and bless them in many ways. So just continue to do what you're doing, ladies, and keep encouraging others.
Well, you know, congratulations. That's a lot, and that's a wonderful, powerful story. And I just ask God to continue to bless and just flourish where you are, and you just... You're actually a testament to resiliency and being resilient, and you're asking for sharing your story.
No problem, ladies.
And she just
I can't
got
wait
married
to see
last fall. Congratulations.
Yes,
the bride still newlywed.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you
so much for calling in, Shara.
Nope.
All right. We have another caller. Caller, go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, are you there? Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Hey, this is Lakita.
Yeah,
hi. Hi, Monica. Hey, Denise.
Hey, Lakita. I know that name. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I'm so glad to hear you here on the radio.
Yeah, Lakita, have you been following the show tonight?
I'm trying to follow it. You know, I have kids over here. So I'm over in the corner here and saying, please be quiet, y'all. Give me 2 minutes.
Well, I've
been listening a little bit on it, and I wanted to just touch base a little bit on the fear part where you all were talking about, because we have discussed that a little bit in our meeting on last week, and that is just so prominent in so many people's lives in addition to mine. So, you know, I just wanted to share a little bit of how it touched me at the last time we talked about fear, and realizing that at my age now that I wish I wouldn't have let fear be that whisper in my ear when I was younger, that if I had done the things that I, you know, are doing now and don't have that fear that I had then I would have probably gone far and further. But in the same sense, you can't really think about what coulda, shoulda, woulda. You're hearing now, and we're moving forward, and that's what really matters. So, but to speak to the listeners out there, to just do it now. Go beyond and take that step, and go beyond and do it. Because once you take that step, the first step is all you really need. Once you take that first step, that's the most fearful step of all. Because once you take that, then you're like, okay, I'm here. I took that one step. Then you take another. Okay, yeah, I can do this. And then you go on, and then you're in it. You're full force in it. So if you just go forward, you don't know until you do it. You know, and I say that we all have only one life to live. Only one. You don't come this way again. So why wouldn't you just go ahead and give it your all? Why would you want to live a life of mediocrity? You know, if you're only going to be here one time, why settle? Just give it your all. Who knows what's going to turn out? It can't be nothing but positive, you know? So I just wanted to share with people and let them understand and know, too, that if myself can go out and say, okay, yeah, I want to empower women. Yeah, now I want to, you know, I want to do hair. Yeah, now I want to go ahead and try to do some stand-in for movies. Or, you know, I've tried everything that I said that I wanted to do, almost somewhat like a bucket list. But I've decided, hey, I'm not going to be fearful of anything anymore. I'm going to take a chance and just go for it. Who knows what can turn out. And circumstances are even more strenuous now than they were then because, you know, we have kids, we have life, we have work. And I said, well, hey, if I can handle this and do all these things, you know, well, yeah, I am a woman who is a strong woman. So if I know if I can do it, I know anyone out there can do it too.
Right. And we do it for two reasons. We do it because it's been placed in our hearts to do. But look at when you do it, what happens. Because you started NOLA Women Empowerment Group, because you stepped out on faith, because you connected people, because you called me, because I came, because I said I would come and be on the radio with these two fantastic women, it has such a ripple effect.
Yes.
If sometimes when we feel like nothing is happening, and I'm probably talking more to myself than anybody else, that nothing is happening, a lot is happening.
Yeah.
You know, so continue on because, again, someone else is listening and hearing the passion in your voice, Rashida, hearing you say, look, stop whining, no excuses. Yes, you have kids, but somebody has 20 kids and they're still doing things. So
right.
Put one foot in front of the other and continue on because, again, if we had 7 billion people with the freedom and the love of what's in their hearts, can you imagine what the world would look like?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sound like me, just always with the bright ideas. Just always with the bright ideas, like, what is she doing now?
I get it all the time, and I always have another idea. But I'm only one person, but that's why it takes a team. You know, a team, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. And that's always, like, we're here now. I couldn't have done NOLA Women's Empowerment Group without all of you being a part of it. And then from that, we can stream on into what we're doing now. We're talking about it on the radio.
Right.
So we are somewhat of a team. We're working together towards a common cause, and that's to get people to understand that let's just do it. Don't put fear aside. Go for your goals. Go for it. You can do it. It's about no negativity. So we're staying in this negativity zone, and we want to encourage others to do the same.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Lakita.
Fabulous.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you so much. My pleasure. It was a joy. You all be blessed.
You too. Good night. We only have a few minutes left. Can we talk about some tips?
Yeah.
Some tips and strategies for cleaning out our lives?
Well, I think the first thing, too, is to decide.
Okay.
Decide that the time has come for the spring cleaning. And that as you survey and see what needs to be removed and discarded or donated, that you say that I will not become overwhelmed by all of this. I'm going to intentionally go after it. Closet by closet, room by room, cabinet by cabinet, whatever the strategy of it is, decide. And bless and release. I think once we, on a spiritual plane, know that we're going to bless and release and donate and think of the people who are going to benefit from what we are passing along, to stop making excuses would be number 3.
Amen.
Stop making excuses. Get her done, as they say or used to say. And number 4 is to release and donate and discard, knowing that you will not lose, that you will attract something else, something better. And finally, to know that we can live without the clutter. You know, we can, you know. You don't need 3 copies of the same book. You don't even know where the baby clothes came from. And then eventually you'll be able to see your floor. Live a purposeful life, and knowing that, and I think one of the reasons I like at the end, you'll never get rid of me, because the challenge is once you stop listening to fear, fear will always try to find a way to sneak back into your life. So be on guard constantly and catch what's happening so you don't allow fear to stop you and paralyze you from your God-given purpose.
And we know God didn't give us a fear.
No.
All right. Awesome show. Thank you. I feel so honored to be part of the performance and all of that. Demetria, another awesome show.
It really was.
You got some other weekends.
tonight, like over the public, but I am available. I really want to do more. Bring me in. We'll make
okay.
it work. And
okay.
I'd love to share what God has placed in my heart for another week.
Okay.
Sounds good. We've enjoyed this tonight.
Thank
God bless you.
Thank you so much. Again, we are Ministry Along the Way. I am Tanyelle, and I'm Lucia.
We'll talk next week.
Bye-bye.